Mrs. Evans,
yes.
Just as gentle and just as beautiful as she ever
yeah.
was. And about a week ago, I came across a little, just by accident, in the box, a little needle case that she had given me, good God, how many years ago? 1916 or 17 or something, when I was just young, you know, starting out.
Yeah.
And when we had a flood in Seward one time, fire it really was, a terrible fire. Looked like everything was going to burn. And Mother was baking bread and handing buckets of water out the window to put out fires, and Dad was running around like he always went to pieces in the fire. My sister grabbed the cap in her evening dress and ran, and she started down the stairs with a trunk, and she was taking the wallpaper off the wall coming down. I said, "Margaret, you're knocking the paper off the wall." She said, "Oh, who cares, who cares, the house is going to burn down." So we went downstairs, and I went down. I said, "Mother, what can I pack?" She said, "Well, you'd better get the silver." I forgot what she said, so I packed that in a suitcase. And so then I had a little time on my hands. So I packed my two best dresses in a little suitcase. So then Mother said, "Now you go down to Evans's. This is Isaac and Mrs. Evans. So we're going to take, you go down and stay there." So my sister arrived with the cap, her nicest dress, which was pale blue satin, and an album. And we went down and spent the day with the Evanses. But that was the way the folks felt about Isaac and Mrs. Evans. They were just, you know, they'd be the people they would send us to. That's how close we were. So we felt doubly badly about the whole thing.
Yeah, well, let's...
All about the Dempsey case.
Well, this is the whole thing. But I was building up to the background of the thing. Mm-hmm. Then he went to Seward then.
That's right, he did.
And they one of the girlfriends, I suppose, co-workers of this woman that was murdered in Anchorage. I forget her name right at the moment. Notified the police, the marshal, that her friend was missing, becoming worried about her, and she was last seen with this Dempsey. So they put out a call for Dempsey, and they found him in Seward. And so the deputy marshal there, Isaac Evans, was instructed to get him for questioning, and he did. And that's as it happened. He had it concealed in his trousers here, and he stopped and let the other guy go ahead, and then he pulled the gun.
That's where he made the mistake.
Killed him. And then he runs down to the railroad yard, and just down the track, and he was eyewitness. There were half a dozen people seeing it.
He got a little hand pushed.
That's right.
Went out to kill Dempsey. Anybody?
Dempsey's still alive, so they're still
alive. Oh, I see.
Dempsey was the murderer. Yeah, but they saw him.
You see, if Evans had just put Dempsey down the stairs first and followed him, but instead of that, he made the mistake of stepping ahead, and Dempsey following him.
Oh, yeah.
And thinking he was unarmed, stepped in front of him, which was foolish.
Was somebody there, third party?
No. Mrs. Evans was upstairs.
But of course he wasn't killed. Was he still conscious?
Oh yeah, he lived about 2 days.
Where was he shot? Near Dome or
I think it was an abdominal.
Yeah, I think it was an Anchorage or
no, he must have shot him in the back.
The murder was in Seward.
So the trial was there.
Well, the murder was the woman was murdered in Anchorage.
Yeah, that's right.
The deputy marshal was murdered in Seward.
Yes.
And the trial was held over in Valdez.
Oh, was?
Yeah.
Oh,
they
in that division, don't you see?
There,
that was all then, the third division.
Well, you must have just been visiting there just then.
Yes, your father.
He was. He was down there helping out or filling in for whoever was the judge.
That's right. He was probably the judge on the case.
Yeah. So he was holding court out of his own division.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But in Alaska, a district judge can hold court in any place that they need it, you see, fill in. Well, at any rate, they tried Dempsey for the murder of Evans. That was the first one. And he was found guilty of first-degree murder.
Who was the defense attorney?
The defense attorney was Tony Diamond.
Really? Tony Diamond?
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Tony Diamond. At least on one trial, I don't know, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was both. And of course, the district attorney was Munley or Money or Muni or something like that. Was the prosecuting attorney? Well,
attorney.
My goodness, with all the eyewitnesses and everything, what else could you do? But they were very careful. They went through, I think, 60 something panel in order to make the trial absolutely airtight, with no prejudice. You see, and I don't think they took anybody from Seward because everybody in Seward was terribly upset about it. It was a town tragedy.
I don't know what the technicalities would be, whether they could, did they get him for first degree murder?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't think there was any malice aforethought. Do you think he shot Evans with the idea of killing him or just of the idea of escaping?
Well, I don't know if it was first degree murder, but I think it was no recommendation for mercy.
No.
I would say it was first degree murder.
I would say.
Then they tried him for the regard Evans shooting as a first degree murder.
And that was declared.
I don't know about that. I think they could get out of the technicality there.
When you're under arrest, and then you turn a gun on the arresting officer, that's pretty serious. I think that's about as...
That's premeditated.
But you know,
they didn't execute him, of course. I mean, he's still alive the last time.
Well, we don't know.
He's still applying for parole.
Well, we don't know that.
And then he escaped.
Hmm?
Really?
Yeah, he escaped again.
What do you mean?
He escaped
in 1940 from McNeil Island.
Well, they rounded him up again after that,
no,
did they?
No.
They didn't.
No.
They did.
No. For 30 years, he's been on the FBI wanted list.
Is that so?
Yes. That's why it's such a good chapter. He's still alive.
I remember that everybody went out, we even walked out the roads, attempting to see if we could see a rustle in the bush. Now, what in the world any of us was thinking about? What sensible person would go anywhere near where a guy... But that's what how damn foolish we were, because we were so upset about the shooting, see? Everybody just went out as a sort of a walking posse.
Yeah.
And somebody went all shot.
Florence asked, what was Bessie Blaker's husband died for?
Bessie Blaker's husband. Remember?
That was before my time.
Was it? Oh, dear.
Wait a minute now.
Thelma's
sister.
Well, you're talking about the mother.
Well, she wasn't in... Bessie wasn't in school with us.
No, she wasn't in school.
Well, had her husband, she'd been married previously? Or was she, did she marry after we knew her?
To me, he was an engineer.
Oh, and she married after we were in school.
Yes.
Well, then I don't know.
But it was around Alaska where, whatever it was, he did.
If I've heard it, I've forgotten.
Now that you're bringing up, I have a very easy recollection of some incident, but I don't know.
She was such a sort of a quiet, timid
she was
girl.
Kind of mousy.
Well, yes, you know, well, of course, what could she do? She's standing in the reflected light of her thistle.
Thelma.
Thelma.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the great...
I don't like to bring up these things, but I know they aren't going any farther.
No.
There are all kinds of crimes committed by all kinds of people. I've had more friends, you know, and my family's friends in prison and all that.
Yes.
But what was Biden's father?
Funds from the bank,
the Washington Alaska Bank. Embezzlement by trustee.
You know, they had on your old home week. Right. They had Fred Struthers and Gostad and Jim Ryder all in the together.
Jim Ryder
was
her beau, and he was arrested just after her father was.
And my mother had the unhappy duty of sitting on Jim's jury.
OP Gostad.
His girlfriend was Alma Trossett, just as often we're all talking.
Oh, really?
Trossett.
Really?
Did Gostad ever have to serve a sentence or anything?
Pretty smart young man.
You think so? I know he was convicted. I didn't know whether it had been appealed.
Smart, well educated, gave him a good family, gave him $100 a month, and expected him to live off and take nothing on. You know, he couldn't practice law. He would sit there as the city clerk. $100 a month? You're asking for trouble.
Yeah. Was your dad the judge then?
The sad part of it was, Florence, look at the ones that got away with as much as he did that were never indicted, like our dear friend.
That's about that era.
And Gilcher, the plumber, they were all mixed up in the same thing, you know?
No.
Oh, yes, the black bear.
That was her name. That was her fighting name. And they had some colorful names, too.
There must be Oregon there, an old tree. But they brought in some of the best post officers in the United States, you know, trying to run that case, Derek.
Now, what was the case?
Another famous case was Romeo White robbing the post office. Do you remember that case?
I remember it all. I
do that very well.
Phew! Well,
the Blackbird case.
Yeah, I never knew more robbers than anybody.
Oh, well, let me see. The Blackbird case.
The best people in town.
No.
What was the Blackbird case?
I think the Blackbird case was later than that.
I don't know what the case is. What was the case? What was the nature of the
mail robbery?
No, 28 of the
gold.
A mail robbery?
Gold.
And what?
Gold shop.
Robbed the mail. Yeah.
From where to where?
I did a rob
in Nana.
Something. There was something.
Hmm? Between Iditarod and Nana?
Something like that,
yes.
As I recall.
Yeah. Which one all the mail was overrun by dog
teams?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I was on the grand jury on
they
that.
They brought in the indictment.
It was brought in the indictment.
Is that right?
I think it was in the fall of 29.
Well, how did the black mare get into
it? Dad's, and so was the man she was mixed up with.
Oh, she.
I won't tell you what.
She was the brain. This
wasn't his case because I did the laboratory work for it.
Oh.
That I couldn't tell you.
No. Well,
she didn't
commit the robbery, but she was.
She
the brains behind
was
the
accessory. Well, she was
accessory. Accessory.
But listen, wasn't she a passenger on the
sled?
Certainly, she was.
Oh, she was right there.
Accessory too.
She probably was the brain.
Oh,
she didn't actually commit the robbery herself.
I had forgotten all about that.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the details.
That was a rough and ready country up there.
Oh, it was.
Ooh.
But you know, the story used to go that you couldn't commit a crime there because it was too light in the summer to escape, and in the winter you could track the snow tracks. And it wasn't until planes came that there was any crime
no
up there.
No one could get out,
boy,
because after all, there was a long
trek. Well, I
want to
ask you something,
coast.
If you fellows remember this. Do you remember the time they had the first execution? Do you remember what Mr. Thompson's headline was in the paper?
Yeah.
Jerk to Jesus at 6 o'clock.
Do
you remember that?
I do.
Well, I'd like to. What could you give me?
Thompson.
I know, WF. He's
you
a great.
You remember another one of his famous headlines?
Hero of mine.
When the Ghirardilli, heir of the Ghirardilli, one of the women died, he said lost his chocolate drop was the headline paper.
Lost his
chocolate drop. Now, let me see if I can think of some of the others.
Oh, he was a character, but he was clever.
Oh,
he was clever.
He was seldom sober, but it was when he was half drunk, he did his best work.
Yeah. When they were fighting,
it was interesting.
He was a real newspaper man. He was a first-class newspaper.
When they were fighting for the railroad funds, and about the same time, President Wilson's health was failing. And every day the headlines, and I've scanned the newspapers there, and there was headlines, you know, about the prospects of the railroad appropriation, and then another column about the president's health. And then one day it comes out, president's health is improving, and the subhead says, hope he stays well enough to sign our railroad bill. The same story. Yeah, a little editorial. Oh, that's
it. Those old pictures.
Yeah.
I hope you keep all those old news miners.
Well, we got them on Photostat copies.
Oh,
so I scan through them. I put them on that machine and run them through.
Uh-huh.
I get so involved there, I forget what I'm doing.
Not a complete file, but about 10 or 12 years of
20
the,
years
of
the last week.
Of the Alaska Weekly.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Knight or somebody did that.
Knight.
They're not
Lulu Fairbanks.
This is Juno.
No,
this is the Seattle Alaska Weekly.
Seattle Alaska Weekly.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if the university, I don't think, has that.
Art. They're not complete, but we have years of them.
I do have them, but Art allowed them to. He said, oh, they just ought to burn them up. And I said,
oh, no, don't.
And they allowed them to get wet, and some of them are damaged, but there's a great many of them that aren't.
Well, I'm sure you should double check. Because, you see, the advantage of the Alaska Weekly, it summarized all the Alaska papers for the previous week or two.
And it's so sad to see it go down. The end, you know, was just pathetic. Not even Lulu Fairbanks could keep it alive at the end. It was just pathetic.
Oh, no.
Is she still alive?
No.
She's
gone.
No.
Not too long ago, though.
Oh, a couple of 3 years ago.
Couple of three.
Quite a gal.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to dig around and see if I can find my little contribution to the university.
What's that?
Send it up there. I have a copy of the Russian map made at the time that Alsen was lost in Siberia.
Oh, yes.
We'd love to have that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you something I've got that if you don't have
it,
I have great many pictures of Dad.
I have two or three prints of it.
Have you?
Yes, he was an old bull of mine, you know, and I have pictures. I have pictures of him taken from the time when he first started to fly. One summer, it was the first summer he was flying, you know, and he started on these where he'd take you up for, I can't remember whether it was 10 minutes for $15 or 15 minutes for $10, but anyway, he had an old egg crate Jenny.
Jenny, yeah.
And as Mayor Fairbanks,
Thomas Edison's son came up during the summer, like tourist, and he took him up. And he took a series of pictures. I don't remember now whether there are two or three in the series. I know I have at least two of them. That Edison's son took from Ben's plane. And it shows the this picture you've got here of the college from the air, I think he took. And then I have one. I wrote on the back of the other ones, though. I have a picture of Fairbanks that the Edison son took, and Ben gave me the picture. Because we were together all the time in those days. It was after Ben and I
met,
we saw each other every day.
Exactly.
For all the time we ran around together.
And
he's a very wonderful person. I never knew anybody that everybody loved. Men, women, children, young and old. He was a very popular friend. But I have a lot of pictures of him, and I don't know what sort of fire he had, but I have all of
I don't think we have too much on him then.
Do you recall when the Wilkins expedition came in the first time?
Well, I wasn't up in Fairbanks then, but I've seen the material.
I made a trip to up to Fairbanks for that series of dedication businesses. There was a Detroiter, and what did they call the other plane?
One after the newspaper,
I think. There was a whole retinue of people there. And anyway, there were a great series of pictures taken, and I've got practically all of them. And one I have, one is a wonderful picture of Ben standing by the plane and then turned around and a wonderful picture of the seat of his pants.
No.
But I have a lot of pictures, and I have a picture that it's faded somewhat. And in it are five of the famous bush pilots, and Ben standing in the middle. There's Young,
trying to entertain her in the hospital.
Bennett.
She was a fascinating.
And Ben.
Oh, she was.
Noel wasn't there. Rodenbaugh almost killed me. He was no pilot. He was flying the plane when I was nearly killed, you know. I can't remember who the other. I came across that picture not long ago, and it occurred to me that if they weren't any of these pictures of Ben to put in their album or anything, I'd be almost very happy to send them to you.
Well, we'd love to have them, I'm sure, because
I'm
not.
I have a lot of pictures of him.
I don't think we have a Ben Hudson.
I only have the one he sent me that was taken of him in Ohio because I love it myself in the spring.
Yeah.
But
you know, we've got a wonderful archives now, and we've got an archivist that's a trained man, an assistant, and a secretary, and they've got a place to put it.
Journals that they lost.
Did they lose some?
My brother offered them,
and
they accepted them, and then he died in 2 days. Widow constituted a contract. Before the will was probated, they brought it up to me, and I said, by all means, I'd like to see them, but let them go. Now it develops, when I was there a year ago, I tried to find them. I went down, we dug, and they said, well, perhaps the reason they couldn't find them was they had just been moved to the new building and probably had not been unpacked. Now they can't find them.
They can't.
Now they don't know what to do.
No.
Well, they didn't want to make a move for fear I had them, and although they knew it was a legal contract, as far as they were concerned, they thought perhaps I had them, see?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got them, but they were discussed with me by the executor of the estate before the will was offered for probate, so I know very well that contract existed. I think they're out of the Methodist school out of Anchorage, and I think the University of Alaska should soon get them, because they're valuable. They really are. So I told Carol that if she needed any help, they're raising... Mr. Who's your president now?
Wood.
Well, you know that line overhead across the
I know that they're making quite a commotion about it. I said, if you want anybody to back you up, I know very well that they were offered to the University of Alaska and accepted by me prior to my brother's death and constituting a contract. So if they're at the
Methodist school,
They damn well go down and get them, because they're not entitled to them.
What kind of papers are they?
They're journals my father wrote when he was first in the country, and they're considered...
Oh, yeah.
was going to go right across the land.
It was built up through Canada.
And now they're lost.
Halfway across Alaska to the Bering Strait.
Yes.
Well, they've certainly got they've got a nice archives set up there.
Before the signal corps, then?
Yes.
No, I think I better go back down. Can I? Some of these people go over to San Francisco?
We can.
Well, I can ride back with them. Then I can make a call to you tomorrow, Jean.
Where are you staying, Bill?
Well, I thought I had at the Hilton, but I got here and found out that the travel agent had me. See, I came down 3 days ago, and I stayed at the Hilton Inn at the airport.
Yeah.
And now I wanted to stay at the Hilton Hotel
downtown
by the airport limousine station, and the damn fools made reservations for me at the Hilton Inn down at the airport. Well, I didn't want that, of course. Yes. So I arrived. I didn't read the thing, Hilton, you know, and checked it out, and I didn't have a reservation. And they're all full. Big convention.
So where are you going to stay?
They put me up at the Maurice.
Well, that's
a nice
hotel.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a nice.
Haven't you got a coffee pot?
Yeah, it's a lovely little place. A little bar, a little dining room. It's a commercial hotel, but clean and nice. I think I am. All that big hocus pocus going on at the convention, I felt a little bit.
I don't like him much.
I did it because it was convenient. That's a nice hotel, and I'm.
Yeah, it doesn't make much difference.
Bill, what happened?
Where is your librarian? Oh, it's out by
30. John Wheeler was quite despondent about leaving Alaska, I think. Oh, yeah.
He can go that way.
Yeah, well, this is the next day. I'm over at Jean's house, and we're looking over some old pictures and memorabilia that she's dug out of the basement. I didn't remember Rollin Chase. Was this he? Yeah. But they all speak highly of him. The Bruces, huh?
Herb Bruce
and his family. Now this is Eva McGowan and Miss Benji.
Miss Benjamin.
Is that how she got the name Benji? I often wondered. So Dave Adler was kind of in the background there, wasn't he?
Isn't that Dave?
I think so.
Yes, it's Dave. At the railroad station.
Yeah.
Well, maybe one of them would like to have that.
I bet they would. Or Eva would. And I don't know how it ties in with my story particularly, but it's one of them. You ought to send it to them yourself, Jimmy. You just drop a little note
there.
I'll try
to get it off.
Yeah.
Now, this is my father, deeds and other papers in reading and sell these property and other property.
Yeah.
Well, some of these are a riot, some of these old things he has stocks
for heaven's
in.
Sake. And he'd buy stock in just about everything that
well,
you know.
Apparently
yeah.
he did. Look at
he
this
was,
stuff.
Oh,
some
for
of the
heaven's
names
sake.
Are lovely.
Look
I think.
Was almost all of it mining deals around
Valdez,
huh?
I suppose. Fort Wells.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of those would be wanted by anybody or not.
Well, these should be, of course, in the archives along with
so
his
too.
Other papers.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I'd love to have that.
I thought we had lots more. Yeah. Louise Washburn is his sister in Florida, his only sister.
Yeah. Now, where is Louise passed on?
She's passed on.
Yeah, I thought she had.
And her daughter, two daughters, are still in Jacksonville, Florida. Reynolds Alaska Development Company. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, that enters into the picture pretty importantly. You
Does
know.
It?
Yeah, because you see, it was the one that was building the Alaska Home Railroad.
Oh, yeah.
And then the railroad went broke, and consequently the development company went broke. And this was where your dad had taken over as assistant cashier, you know, nine days before it went.
See, you know more about
ceased
the early
business.
Early
oh,
I
I've
do.
Been kind of absorbing it through the years.
Ed Smith, he was somebody,
yeah,
too.
That, well, he was your senior partner that your dad studied law under.
Well,
said.
I think legally these papers are worth nothing, but as memorabilia, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
President of the Kassam Gold Mining.
Oh, that was in there, yeah.
Mortgage office. Now this is later. But some of these are pretty old. John Sexton Shanley. What's this? State of New York.
Oh, boy. Oh, you don't, well, it's some kind of a deed, I guess.
Edmund Smith.
This is where he deeded some of his, probably some of the Shanley subdivision, huh?
Probably so.
Yeah, that's all good.
All your primaries and party caucuses. Well, 1914. Now that might be something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is, upon the call. You see, he was chairman, elected chairman of the meeting there,
mm-hmm.
In Skagway. Now, this must have been just before they had their local meeting, and then before they went down, see?
Mm-hmm.
Upon the call of Seaman Democratic Territorial Committee for the 3rd Judicial Division, and so forth, and so forth. Yeah. Whittlesey and so forth. Yeah, yeah. This should be right back in with his 1914.
Yeah,
materials.
I think all these things belong in memorabilia, and I've never done anything about it. Now, Harris platform. Here's the Democratic.
Well, Harris ran, you see, for delegate before your dad did in 1912, and it was splintered. There were two Democratic parties at the time, I think.
No date.
No. Well.
But you could connect up with.
Oh
it.
Yeah, this ties right in.
Do you want to just take all of this?
Well, yes, I would. I'll just put it into the I'll take it up.
Yeah.
Go through what I need.
Except
I something.
History, it's nothing.
That's right. And then just put it
here's
with the
February 1913.
Yeah. Town site of Valdez, yeah.
Here's
well,
1907.
It's real history.
Valdez Bank and Mercantile Private Corporation, indenture. All right. Here's a cashman instead of a cashin.
Yeah, no relative, I think. But it's pretty close.
1906.
Deed.
These are more or less in order of dates.
Yeah.
And they're in pretty good shape for old papers
well,
like that.
They have... They have a lot of Alaska history in them, and
yep,
besides
here's
the
John Frame, he was
format.
Alaskan history too.
Yeah.
More Edmund Smith.
Frame, yeah.
And so on. Well, I think you and the archives ought to have this whole
I
batch.
Do, I do too. And this would be a good place for
see.
It. It's a disposition or an affidavit.
You want to take all that home, or do you want me to send it to you?
Well, I'm just trying to see if I've got room. That's the point. It depends on how much it volumes into. If I can get it in this briefcase, fine. But they gave me down there to take home a great big album of all the pictures and the hockey puck.
Oh.
And then I want to. I had to throw. I hated to do it, but they had a big glass of jelly or something that they gave me, and I had to leave it in the wastebasket. I had no place to pack it. You know, just no place. So I'm really up to the limit. Unless I can fit it in the little case here, I really don't have no place because I've got my rubbers and my all my other junk. You know. Well, I don't think it would be. Yeah. Well,
when it gets up
a big
to
manila, a big envelope or
yeah.
so.
When it gets up to the modern history, I don't think we can. Well, that's 1912. I thought it was getting modern, and now it's going back again. That's 1912. Statement of facts leading up to the rupture at the Valdez Convention.
Oh, there was a rupture there, huh?
There was a rupture. Was this in the...
Now, let's see, what year here was it? Here, 1912. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here comes Mr. Harris.
Yeah. You see, there were.
This is not the Wicker Gem.
Oh,
Gem.
I'd like to read that. That's political history, right being told
maybe
there.
You want to take some of these things in your briefcase to read.
That is interesting. Yeah. Well, we better have our coffee before it gets a little.
Another adventure. Now that stuff might give you something.
Well, I think it belongs in his archives, and you see, the mere format of some of these legal papers is eventually going to be
historically interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
There's lots of people they don't think of saving these, and mm-hmm. God's years later.
Now, in this box, I might have just anything, including lots and lots of pictures.
car of the horse, Lindbergh, that's when I was up there, and Patty was president.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Wiegman, you mentioned him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
But that isn't going
you,
to
you know,
be
poor old
well.
Glenn Berg there, he piled himself up here in Oregon. He and Trixie or whatever her name was, they separated, you know.
Oh, Roxy.
And then he went back to teach in Petersburg High School and married a high school senior girl, and they had a baby. And then he came out and he was teaching someplace in Mount Vernon, junior college. And one night he came home intoxicated and just wrapped that car he was driving at high speed around all the confounded telephone poles along the road and smashed himself in the car to pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, left the wife, the new little wife. And,
oh, geez.
And he had taken the boy, too. You see, this doesn't have to be recorded. I'll turn it off. Well, it wants to be meaningful, you see, to people that are interested in your dad and the history of the university. You know, there's a lot of things that are interesting to individuals, but the big, you know, overall.
That's interest. What I'm looking for, and I'm not finding an awful lot of that.
Well, that's what I do. I go through my stuff,
Seton
too.
Children, lovely.
Aren't they handsome? Yes.
Lots of fine pictures here. Yeah. Here's Carl Franklin. Does he come into the picture?
Oh, he's all... gussied up there.
Yeah, we were going to a wedding. We had a wedding that night.
Oh, really?
In Fairbanks.
Yeah. Gosh. Carl's doing all right for himself. I didn't... well, he's still vice president
sure
over
is.
There.
He's been doing fine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Now, just getting back, as I recall the outline here that I got here, I did pretty well on those early chapters because... Did you? I suppose you have a general idea that he of what's in the archives out there. There's some pretty good stuff on. Well, he had the Bucknell days, and he had the material in the scrapbook, and some of his poems and things like that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I some
Do
of those
are pretty
good.
Do you have that picture when he was in Bucknell when graduating? He had Willie of the Valley in his pocket.
No. No, I don't.
I'll have to get that out of the old family Bible and give that up, I think. You don't want early Fairbanks pictures. Ben Ileson and, who's that?
I sent you a copy of this little thing, didn't I?
No.
Huh? Sure I did.
No.
Huh? That's my brief history.
Oh, no, that's nice. Thank you.
I didn't?
I won't take your time to look at it.
No, I thought I said... Sure, I thought I said...
Now, here's my father and Ramona, the little baby moose.
Now, this is something that would be clever. Now, could we get the date on that, you know, and the occasion, see? So I could have it labeled correctly.
You don't remember the days of the baby moose?
No.
It was when John Luss was there... Was he? He was taking care of Pete, the sheep, caribou were down the pen, reindeer. Had some reindeer.
Must have been
on
around 1930 or so, huh?
Or before.
Or
I'd
before.
Say 27 or 28.
Well, yeah.
All right. Do you have a pencil? Sure.
Yeah, we should.
27 or 28.
No.
Our first house that we moved to Fairbanks from the Shaw House. Now, there we go.
Oh, okay.
Living quarters.
Now, the Bunnells stayed in the Shaw House, huh?
When we first came to Fairbanks.
And this was when he came up to be the judge in 1915, huh?
Mm-hmm. I was born in 1909, so it was 1915, summer, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, this is one thing I wanted to know. Now, he came up, of course, he was sworn in as judge. Now, you were just, of course, a little kid. You wouldn't remember.
I was stupid.
Yeah, well, you were politically unaware, perhaps.
Yes.
You weren't stupid.
I really didn't care.
But he was sworn in on his birthday, January 12th, 1915.
1915? Mm-hmm. Well, this must have been 1914 when we came in then.
No, you came up that summer. I see.
Yeah, but January 12th was the following. Yeah.
Well, January 12, 1915, he was swearing in, and then he came in, but I think maybe you came later.
Oh.
Or did you all come together, do you think?
thought we all came together.
Well, he came up during, he had to come up and get the court running.
Now Florence could remember that.
Yeah, and I think he came up alone and then went back and got you people.
Could be.
I think so. When I think you came in the summer, surely you wouldn't have come in over the trail. You never remembered a crossing in the winter.
No, we came up on the boat and I walked across the street to the Shaw house and sat down on the linoleum floor and started playing cards with Florence and Dorothy. And they had isn't it silly what you remember?
Yeah.
I don't remember whether my father was with us, but I remember the kind of sweater that Florence wore.
Sure. Yeah. That makes an impression.
As Elizabeth said last night, it is the intense thing.
Yeah. That's right. She had that nicely kind of summarized. It's intensity, recency,
it's
or frequency.
Importance. That's right.
Those three are the memory devices. And I like that. I hadn't thought of it before.
This was intensity, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, what did you say that this was 1928 or thereabouts, circa
1928? Probably 26 or 7.
26.
I was still in high school.
About that.
The 28. Maybe I can.
And this was
later.
Was there a name for this? Was it a baby?
That was Ramona.
Oh, this was Ramona.
Because there was a song, remember?
Yeah, Ramona.
We'll awake. Da 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 da.
Was this found and brought in, or was it born in captivity?
And it didn't live very long. We woke to find her gone, and I thought my father was very bad to feed her potato peelings because they probably weren't good for her.
Oh, yeah. Sounded like it was bad, but...
Yeah. This is the girl my father married, I guess. Let's see. Class of 1900. No, it was just her friend.
Now, these are the three graduates of the class of 1900 in Geneva, Shorkley.
Some famous Alaskans here, but not university, I guess. Bushley from the very early days. This is Senate. There I am. his father had a plumbing outfit, and they're still there. Wilbur.
Wilbur.
That's little Wilbur,
yeah.
And his sister's here. That's little Wilbur.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the grocery store. They weren't friends with my father at all.
Oh, that's
they
Bailey.
Felt like Bailey.
Huh?
And
that's the
Baileys. Bailey and Lavery.
Lavery and Bailey.
This is little doll baby Lavery. They called her doll baby all her life.
Oh. Now, where was this?
Out at Birch Lake.
Birch Lake.
And that must have been about...
Well, that's important in Fairbanks history.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
not...
It's not particularly
not
germane
right.
to mine. But
nope, and neither is this.
Very, that's... Well, no. No, they were prominently identified with the university, no question about that. In the sense that they, aviation at that time was the big thing. And the college was very interested in what they were doing, no question about that. That is, they aren't named here, but it is...
it's Ben Allison and Wilkins.
Yeah, Sir Hubert. He was only captain. Yeah.
He appeared so many times later with a beard that I hardly recognize him. Helen McDonald, Stranger, Helen Franklin Heath. Not college history. There's Agnes Herring, Norma Clausen, Jess Dyer. Lisa Fisher. No Fairbanks, no college there.
Do you have a picture of your mother?
Yeah, I've passed several of hers. This is the house at 8th and Lacey. This isn't a very good picture.
It's not bad.
You know, Bill, the only thing about my mother, which maybe should be in the history.
Yeah, this is what I want to know.
Which she would probably think was the important thing. And I think it's already recorded somewhere. I read it, that it was she who thought of Ad Summum.
Yeah.
And I can remember the days when my father was worrying about a motto and she came up with this and he liked it.
Oh, yeah.
And he approved a very little, you know, that she had to offer, I'm sure. I mean, there was not a great understanding, you know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, this is what I've gathered over the thing.
Sure, and...
Of course, there's no... it's rather cute and pathetic, too, in a way.
It is pathetic.
I read back...
I think it was almost like professional jealousy, you know.
Yeah, could have been.
Which can be between husband and wife. What they were competing for, I don't know. But it was a competition. I can't explain that. I was too close to it. I think Florence would be more help because she saw us all through mine growing up. And
it's something that I don't think is any sense of dwelling on.
No.
But
no,
it somehow, it has to be kind of resolved in a word or a sentence.
It's an unfortunate fact that something went astray very early, I think. But I remember the occasions when, which were sort of happy feelings when they did get together. And I remember that occasion.
Yeah, when...
That it was important, I suppose, to me that they were cooperating and getting together on something.
Yeah.
And he accepted this idea as being good.
Yeah.
A picture of Mount McKinley and Odd Zuman.
Huh.
And that was her contribution to the university as far as
anything
direct.
She
contributed by entertaining 1,000 people and people like Jamie.
Well, everyone that remembers your mother said, oh, we like Mrs. Bunnell. She used to be so good to us. They were down to the house or something like that, where she's kind
of
looking.
Lots of students.
Yeah, and the early faculty people.
Early
all spoke highly of
them. And that's neither here nor there, and that's not his biography particularly. But I mean, that's...
Well, it's certainly a part of his life and makeup, you know.
An unfortunate part.
Yeah.
I used to think when I was trying to analyze it that here was a man who never should have been married. I don't think...
Well, another person, I think someone else expressed that.
Yeah.
Lydia said, no woman could live with Bunnell. He was
not
married
forever.
To his job.
Yeah,
he was married to his job. And I thought that was pretty well put. And Lydia said
true.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think other people's ideas on that would be better than mine, because a child sees things at too close a range, you know?
It may well be. But as I said, looking back, you know, of course, he came up to Wood Island, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept a diary, you see. Have you seen that?
Well,
it's in the archives. And part of it I'm going to quote. It's quite good about life there at that time. And then toward the spring there would be notes. Got a nice long letter from May, you know.
Right.
And then wrote a long letter to May. And and then I'm sitting on top of the world. Everything is all settled. And that was, of course, with the marriage all arranged, you see. And then he gathered up those native children and took them back to the Carlisle Indian School.
Yeah, he always told the story that he took, was it nine Indians back?
Yeah, nine and, seven and five, a dozen or so.
He brought one back, and that was May.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I've got, of course, the contracts that he got from the Bureau there of... Indian Affairs, and he was getting paid $80 a month, and your mother came on as an assistant teacher at
$60 a month?
$60 a month, so they were pretty well fixed. When they came back, they taught at Kodiak, see? Now, other than maybe a picture of the Kodiak School or something like that.
There are pictures of Kodiak in there, but I don't think the school.
Yeah, well... maybe a picture of Kodiak at that time. If this is a period picture, if it's a recent picture of Kodiak, it doesn't mean anything. But if it was Kodiak in 1900, then
somewhere,
that would mean something.
Somewhere.
See?
There's Kodiak in 1900. There's my mother in Valdez.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And this,
here's Harold Bird on his first trip to Alaska. Do you think I should send that to him?
Oh, I think he'd love to have it. Say, he was a young, handsome man, wasn't he?
Yeah. Franklin was on that same boat.
Was he now?
Here's a picture. You have lots of old pictures of Valdez. That's a pretty old one. You know anybody who wants some old postcards of...
Well, as I said, the archives would love to have them.
Nice,
if they're identifiable.
Pretty nice looking there.
Yes, nice looking. Nice looking girl. And yes, and I have her picture in the... of course, in the Bucknell yearbook or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think she's in this picture, but I'm not sure.
Well, that's
Pennsylvania. There's a real old one. My mother at Grand Canyon in 1906. That won't do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here's a nice one of my father. when he was traveling? Mushing Judge.
Oh, yeah.
Taken at Copper Center in September. Ooh, what year? When he was on the way from Fairbanks to Valdez.
Boy, yeah, and he's right there along with that limousine, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was probably Bobby Shelton's
car. Bobby Shelton, sure. Or Gibson.
Yeah, they were a little rival in there.
And Bobby Shelton could tell you all about that trip, I bet you. Maybe he'd be one to pick up, too.
Yeah, he's up in Seattle, and it may be that I'll...
Now, here are some real old ones. Beginning at the left, standing Dr. Mills, Mr. Nielsen, Mr. Ross, Mrs. Noble, Mr. Goss. I heard all about the Gosses lot. So on, Charles E. Bunnell. Sitting down, Mrs. Bunnell, Mr. Goss, and Ruth. Now, here he is. That's wonderful.
Really?
That must have been about... See,
oh, this was...
That's a good one.
What's it, Wood Island, is it? Huh?
I think it's Valdez, because I think it matches this, doesn't it? Yeah, it's the same outfit he has on, see?
Yeah.
Valdez, what does that say? Brass band with their glad rags, 1910.
No.
This is 1910, and it's well labeled.
All right. We might be able to make something out of that. Now, he was playing the slide trombone here in the front row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, one of Tommy Campbell's stories about my father was knowing him as a faculty member and knowing him as a distant person.
Yeah.
Until he came down to the house one night to see him, and he said, here was my father lying on the floor in his BVDs, I think, playing the trombone. Lying flat on the floor.
That kind of broke up the monotony.
And now Tommy's gone. But
yeah, that's a shame to lose Tommy.
That.
So young, you know.
That's a picture of my mother in college.
Yeah.
And here she is at Mrs. Butler Lewisburg.